Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue in Makos. We're on Dalet Omid Aleph at the bottom. 4A, probably 3 or 4, right? What is it? 4A3?
From the Mishnah.
Yeah, 4A3. Yeah. Okay, we're going to review quickly the Mishnah and the Gemara of what we did yesterday, and then we're going to just keep pushing ahead. Okay, the Mishnah says, Me'irim anu be'ish ploni shechayv l'chaver masayim zuz. False witnesses testify that a certain person owes another person 200 zuz. V'nim tzuzomim, and we find out that they were liars. So what happens to them? A double punishment. Lokin u'mishalmim. You can give them malchus, you give them lashes, and they pay. Okay? Why? Because the name, literally means the name, but the reason that brings them to getting lashes is not the same reason that brings them to paying the damages, as will be explained. Divrei Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir says there's two averos that happened, and each one deserves a punishment. The Chachamim say no. Kol mishalem ein aloka. Anyone who pays does not get lashes, which we'll explain as well. Case number two. Me'idim anu b'ish ploni shuchayv malchus arboim. False witnesses say that someone is obliged to get 40 lashes. And we find that they were liars. So what do we do to them? Lokim shmonim. We give them 80 lashes. Why 80 lashes? So now we come to the two reasons. Mishum lo sana b'recha et shakar. For the first reason, in the Ten Commandments says you shall not lie. So we can give lashes for that. Mishum, and also for vasisem lo kasher zoma. We do to them as they perpetrated to want to do to the other fellow. So that's two different reasons to make them get lashes. The Rabbi Meir, he says they get two sets of lashes. The Chachamim Amrim, no. Ain't looking El Arboim, they only get 40. Which ones did they get for? Doesn't really matter, but they have to know what they're getting punished for. So they get it for Eidim Zomimim, and for Losana, they don't get, for lying this, they don't get the lashes for that. Okay. Now, next page. Dalvim Beis. Says the Gemara. And this is good according to the Rabbanan who say you only give one punishment. We're focusing on the first half of the mission now, where they lied to say a guy should pay money. And although Rabbi Meir says they pay and they get lashed, it's Rabbi Meir, right? The Chum say no. You only give him one. You just give him what? The? Call him a shalim in a loke. He pays and doesn't get the lashes. So this is good according to the Rabbanan. It says you pay and don't give him the lashes. Why? Because the Pasuk says, Kidei Rish Asoksiv. The Torah says when we find out who the guilty party is and we lash him Kidei Rish Aso according to his wickedness and not wickednesses. Right? So that's what it says. So Mishum Risha Achas Atom Chayva, you obligate him for one act of wickedness. You don't obligate him for two acts of wickedness. So you only can give one punishment. And therefore we give him, they can pay the money and he doesn't get the lashes. So that is all good according to the Chachamim. El Rabbi Meir, but Rabbi Meir, my time, why does he say you punish him twice? For two things, Omer Ula Umla says, we will gomar mi motzi shemra. Rabbi Meir learns it out from Motzi Shemra, the case where the person falsely accuses his bride of not being a virgin. And the Torah goes out of its way. It says, Ve'yisroso, you inflict punishment to him. Ve'anshooso, and you punish him. So that's two clauses. That means there's two things happening. And therefore we learn from Vayasuru that we inflict suffering on him, that's lashes, and we punish him, that is the fine that he pays, the monetary fine. So we see Amarula, Gomar, he learned out from Motzi Shemra from the case of lying about his bride. Now what do we say over there? Ma Motzi Shemra, when the person says the bad about the bride. Loke, he gets lashed, umishalman pay. So you see clear case in the Torah where it's possible to get two punishments. Therefore, af kol loike mishalem. So all other cases, it's also possible. Other cases can get loike and mishalem, lashes and pay, where it would be a case where that's possible. By here, the Eidim Zomimim, who wanted the money to pay money, and they're going to have to compensate him for that, and they're going to get the lashes. To which Gemara says, maybe you cannot learn Edim Zomimim from the case of Motzi Shemra, because there's a difference. Perhaps that wouldn't be proper to learn from it. Why? Because Ma'ala Motzi Shemra Shekein Knas. It's a Knas. Fine. The monetary payment is a fine. And a fine, that itself is a Chidush. That is a new insight. That's not the normal way of jurisprudence. It's not a compensation. So that's a Chidush. And we figure a Chidush is only its own law is a Chidush, but we can't learn other things from a Chidush. So how could you learn Edim Zomimim from that, which is a Knas? So the answer is, Rab Meir will do what? Sover like Rabbi Akiva, like Rabbi Akiva. Because why? The Omar Rabbi Akiva says, Edim Zomimim Knasu, Edim Zomimim is also a Knas. So you can learn a Knas from a Knas. If the Motzi Shemra case is a Knas, Edim Zomim is also a Knas. So very good. So you can understand. Reb Meir says you're going to pay and get lashed because we're going to learn Edim Zomimim from Motzi Shemra. Going to learn the same thing, that they're both a Knas. While the Chachamim can very simply say, I'm really sorry, but the Chachamim can argue on Rabbi Akiva and say Edim Zomim is not a Knas. Remember, it was a machlokas if Edim Zomim is a Knas. If it's not a Knas, then you can't learn it from Motzi Shemra. Motzi Shemra could be an exception to the rule. As we see, it is a unique type of case. So really, we have both laws are in place. There is a concept, you punish the guy for one punishment and not two. That's the general rule. The general rule in most places in the Torah is one punishment and not two. But the Torah itself says an exception to the rule, and that's the case of Motzi Shemra. So the only question now is, Edim Zomimim, does it go according to the overall rule that you only get one punishment and not two? Or perhaps it's also unique that it can be learned from Motzi Shemra. Ramiro will say it could be learned from Motzi Shemra because the whole idea of Edim Zomimim is a Knas also. So then a Knas case can be learned from a Knas case. While the Chachamim will say what we don't hold like Rabbi Akiva, we can say it's not a Knas, and therefore you cannot learn Edim Zomimim from Motzi Shemra. So that's the Hezber Machlokas. Chachamim say you're going to get, Rav Meir says you get punished twice because it's saying Motzi, that Edim Zomim is like Motzi Shemra, which is a unique type of case you get double punishment. And the Chachamim say no, it's not uniquely like Edim, like Motzi Shemra, and goes over to the overall rule that says well, you only give one punishment and not two punishments. That was yesterday's Gemara. Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Any questions? All our questioners aren't here.
We're going to cover ground.
Dropping we like love you guys. We love you guys.
Rabbi Akiva learned it that way then.
Rabbi Akiva, his opinion is that Edim Zomim is a Knas. I don't have to know why.
Why didn't you learn it from this example?
Rabbi Akiva is his own person. Rabbi Akiva is saying he feels that Edim Zomim is a Knas.
But didn't we learn with Edim Zomim that some cases where the guy wouldn't have lost anything, and they would still have to pay, and it would be a fine.
What
didn't we learn? I can't think.
What in this?
Well, like with the Kohen, where you couldn't give them
in
the
this
punishment.
Parent.
Yeah, did we not learn a case where
the
guy wouldn't have had to pay, but
he wouldn't have
so had to pay. And now he didn't pay, but they had to pay. So then it's a fine.
Well,
because the intention.
No, they had to whip the guy, but he didn't have to.
You,
that case
you would whip them. I don't know if that necessarily is a could be a could it mean anything. The whole idea he holds the whole idea of Edim Zomim is a Knas because the other guy never lost anything.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
So what? So I don't understand.
But
understand
the
question.
Sages are saying that it's not a that it's not a Knas.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a fine. It's a retribution,
compensation.
Or something else.
Like a compensation.
You're asking. So what about when we lash a guy? What would you call it if you're lashing the guy? That's what you want to ask. Okay, we'd have to go into where is this basic machlokas. It's not over here. This is not the main place of the machlokas. So we'll have to see where is the primary machlokas of Edim Zomimim.
You're talking where there's monetary compensation.
Because it's not the intention.
We'd have to look at Baba Kama,
Hamanah.
We'd have to look in Baba Kama. We learned to have to remember. Okay, have to remember.
Yeah.
They do hold, others hold, it's a mammon. Or maybe when it's a monetary, Maybe when it's a monetary issue, is it mumen or knas? Okay, if it's a death, then the question is, what is that? So we have to understand. It seems that
we had a
Beis Amid Aleph, if you recall, on Beis Amid Beis, we had a statement from Ula. Ula said the idea where we was it over there? 1 second. No, not that. We brought down Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, "Ein mishalmim al pi atzmo." If they admit, they don't have to pay, right? Rabbi Akiva said they admit that they were yisom, they don't have to pay. And we said because Rabbi Akiva holds that it's a knas. Yeah.
But here they didn't admit.
That's a knas. But we have to go back to Baba Kama. We learned it. Did we learn Baba Kama the first prayer?
Yeah.
That was the morning class.
That was the morning class. It's a machol. We'd have to go to one Baba Kama and refresh our memory on that. Okay. Now, what the Gemara is going to do now is go on a little bit of a side trip now. Now, what it's going to do, it's going to be Ula. Let's what we had over here. We had a machlokes, Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, and we were trying to figure out what's the svara of Rabbi Meir. Right? What's the svara of Rabbi Meir? And Ula came along and said, well, we learn his svara of Eidim Zomim from Motzi Shemra. So now the Gemara is going to say that there are those who took Ula's statement of answering a question on somebody and saying he learned it from Motzi Shemra, he used that answer in another area on a different topic. Uh-oh. All right? This is like version A, that here we had a discussion, what's the svara of Rabbi Meir? Ula explains what it is. He learned it from Motzi Shemra. Then he had a question. Motzi Shemra is a knas. We have an answer. But Ula came to answer a question on Rabbi Meir. That's what we have. Ula comes along. He's an Amora. He's explaining Rabbi Meir's position in the Mishnah. So Gemara is going to say now, Ika de Masni, Law de Ula. Others learned Ula's statement, not going on this Mishnah to answer a question on Rabbi Meir, but going on a Brisa to answer a different person. It's not arguing on this. We learn one little piece, nice little piece of Gemara. It's a nice package, done. Now, Gemara's just saying, others said that Ula, instead of coming to answer Rabbi Meir, as we did, he came to answer a different question on a different Tana, in a Brisa, on a different topic completely. So there's no real flow from what we're going to learn now to what we just learned. The only connection is, we're saying Ula answered a Tana in a Brisa, according to some, and some according, he was answering in a Mishnah. So that's the only connection, but this halacha, the next few lines, has nothing to do with Eidim Zomim. Okay. So, Ika, Damasni, Lohodu, Ulaha. They're those who learned the words of Ula when Ula's come and give an answer to an Amora, to a Tana, on this following statement. The Tani that we learned in a Brisa, the following. Now, we know in the Torah, this was believed talking about the Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach, you're not allowed to leave the Korban Pesach until the morning. Right. Slaughter the animal, it's gotta be eaten before the morning. There's a negative commandment which says do not leave anything over till the morning. Now, there's another statement right after that, which seems to be a positive statement that says, and whatever you do leave over, you have to burn. It's two statements, two separate statements. You have to finish the Korban Pesach and eat it all up by the morning, before the morning. Don't leave any leftovers. And if not, then just get rid of it, whatever. And if you did, you got to burn what's there. So now the question is going to be, leaving the meat until the morning is a negative precept. You're not supposed to do that. Now, usually when you transgress a negative precept, you get lashes. So now it's going to be a machlokes. When this happens, if you don't eat the whole Korban Pesach and you leave something the next day, we're going to see two Tanoim both saying you will not get lashes, but they give different reasons for it. Okay, and that's what the discussion is over here. The Tanya we learn in a Brisa. The Pasuk says, Lo sosiru memenu ad boker. Don't leave any of the Korban Pesach over until the next morning. The second statement is, Vahanoser mimenu, and whatever is left over ad boker in the morning, etc., etc., you shall burn it. Okay, that's how the rest of the Pasuk goes. You burn it. Fine. So now what is the connection of the first half of the Pasuk to the second half of the Pasuk? So the first opinion says, and this again, this is Rabbi Yehuda, Bo hakosav litein esei achar los esei. The Torah is providing you with a positive commandment following a negative commandment, Lomer to teach you Shein Lokin Olav. You're not going to get lashes for this. Why? Because this is the new principle that we're going to teach you now. There's a concept that if you transgress a negative commandment, yes, you should get lashes. But there's a number of ways you can get out of it. And one of them is called I'll say the Hebrew term and I'll explain. It's called a lav hanitak la'aseh, which means a lav, a negative commandment, hanitak, that can get corrected, fixed up, with an aseh afterwards. For example, I'll give you another example. Let's say you steal from someone. So the fact that you steal, that's a negative commandment. So there maybe should be two aspects, perhaps, we could consider. You got to pay the guy back, and we should give the guy lashes. Right? You transgress the avera of lo signov. Again, it's the same idea, similar concept over here. You would think, in other words, when I steal, I've done two things wrong. Number one, I took money that's not mine. Number one. Number two, I transgressed a negative commandment of lo signov. Don't steal. But we know we don't lash anybody for this. Why? Because notwithstanding any other discussion we could have for one punishment, not two punishments, forget about it. Because it's a lav hanitak laseh. It's a negative transgression. It can be fixed up with a positive. How do you fix up it?
You give it back.
The Torah says positive, you shall surely return the money to him. So when the Torah creates a positive commandment as a follow-up to the negative to fix it up, it's called a lav hanitak laseh. A lav that's fixed up by an ase, and any lav like that never gets lashes. Why lash the guy? Just fix up the problem.
Even if you have to pay it under duress, pay it back under duress?
So paying back fixes up the problem.
But he's only
so
paying back.
So why do I have to lash the guy? We've corrected the issue. If you can correct the issue, no need to lash the guy. Even if you don't have the money, we don't lash the guy. Because the whole way the mitzvah was set up is that it can be corrected. And the assumption is it should never get lashes for that. So the same thing over here. The Torah says, don't leave anything over until the morning. Okay, if you do, we should lash you. Ah, but no, there's a way to fix it up. If you left in the morning, there's a positive that says, go burn it. Ah, so once you burn it, you fix it up, no need to lash the guy. So this is, who's that? Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So this Rabbi Yehuda's opinion in the Braisa, the reason you don't get lashed for leaving meat over till the next morning, because it's a negative precept that can be fixed up with a positive. That's his opinion. Rabbi Akiva comes along and says, no. Omar lo min ha-shem hu. It's not from this type of name. It's not because it's a lav hanitak la'aseh, so you don't get lashes. There's another reason. El mishum, a second principle. Tehavale lav she'en bo ma'aseh. There's a negative precept you can transgress, but you're really not doing any action and you can transgress. The only time the Torah says we lash people for transgressing is if you actively did a negative thing like eating chazer. Torah said, hold on. Eating chazer is an action. So you ate chazer, you can't fix it up, right? And you did an action, so we punish you. But a lav, a negative that there's no action, it's passively committed, it's not that bad. You didn't really do anything so bad.
Only because you can repay it.
No, not if you can't repay it. But since you didn't do it, remember, what's worse? There's different levels here. What's worse, transgressing a negative? Let me give it a different way of looking at it. What's worse, transgressing a negative commandment or not doing a positive commandment? What's worse?
But don't steal as a negative commandment.
Hold on, we'll get to stealing in a minute. Just forget about it for a minute. What's a worse crime? To transgress a negative commandment or a positive commandment?
Transgress a negative.
Because you're doing something. Well, the positive, I didn't do the positive. So it's not nice, but it's worse when I actively do something bad. So not good. Now within the area of the negative, so because it's so bad, we lash the guy. If you don't do a positive commandment, we don't lash you. You don't put on tzitzis. You don't go into a sukkah. We don't lash you for doing that. We don't lash you for that. It's not nice, but it's not as bad as that not going to sukkah than actually eating chazer. Now, within the negatives, though, that itself we can make a distinction. Is it a negative with an action? Or is it a negative without an action? Don't leave over any meat till the next morning. You can't actively leave it over. It only can be transgressed passively.
Right.
So says Rabbi Akiva, and this is a rule everybody agrees to, any lav, she'ein bo maisa, a lav, a negative command that doesn't have an action, you don't get lashes.
Right.
right? And he's, again, Rabbi Akiva Omer, I'll go back and read that line again. Lo min Hashem, who said, it's not because of your reason, Rabbi Yehuda, to say it was a lav that gets fixed up with an asay. It's a negative that is a passive transgression of a negative. And the rule is, and any negative that's transgressed passively, you don't get lashes. So now the Gemara makes an observation. So it seems there's a machlokes in this price. What's the reason why leaving over the paschal offering till day does not get lashed? According to Rabbi Yehuda, because it's a negative that gets fixed up by a positive. Rabbi Akiva is saying it's a negative that doesn't have an action. So now the Gemara makes an observation on this Mishnah. Michlal, it would imply, since Rabbi Yehuda gave the reason of lav, hanita, klase, and did not say it's a negative that doesn't have an action, it would appear that Rabbi Yehuda sover lav, sheba, maisa, lokin, alav. It would appear he's holding that a negative that doesn't have lashes, that doesn't have an action, you don't get lashed. So now the Gemara, which is very counterintuitive, to which Gemara wants to know, Menale. So where did Rabbi Yehuda get this idea? Because usually most people in Talmud think, a lav shema maisa, you don't get lashed. It would appear, since that's the easier reason, why didn't he give that reason? Okay, I don't know why the Gemara doesn't answer. There might be two reasons. But I guess since he didn't say the other reason, so he guess he doesn't hold that reason. So more or Minole. So where did Rabbi Yehuda come up with his position to say, no, I guess according to Rabbi Yehuda, even a negative without an action does get lashed.
Yeah.
So where did Rabbi Yehuda get that idea from, where it seems pretty logical that you shouldn't lash someone if it's a passive transgression of a negative? That's the question, to which now we say, Omar Ula. This is Omar Ula.
Oh.
Right? Yeah. Some say not Omar Ula on the previous argument coming to save somebody. It's coming to save Rabbi Yehuda over here. That's what the Gemara, that's the whole connection to our Gemara. This one. Omar Ula. He learns it. Gomar Mimotzi Shemra. And also says, we learn it from, so, just like in the last Gemara, Ula says, how does we know Rabbi Meir says, Yechai Verdu? Omar Ula says, we learn from Mimotzi Shemra. Now, but this is a different case and different thing, but you have that clause, Omar Ula, Ula says he learns it from Motzi Shemra. Now, it's a different learning from Motzi Shemra, but that one clause is the same line, and that's why we bring it down. So now what's the connection? Ma Motzi Shemra. Let's look at Motzi Shemra. The man who accuses his wife of not being a virgin, does he do an action?
No.
Sure?
Oh.
No. Okay.
Yes.
Verbal?
No.
No.
No, he doesn't do an action.
What's the action?
Using verbal?
So, okay. So now, is something saying something, is that considered an action or not?
No.
Yeah. It's got an implication. Of course it does.
I understand. But the rabbis say an action we mean has to be a real action. And speaking is not considered an action.
So how can
that's why we don't give lashes for speaking Lashon Hara.
Oh, we should. There's a consequence.
But we do not give lashes for Lashon Hara. The Talmud's position is speech is not an action. There's something called thought, speech, and action. So therefore, speech is already more sublime activity than action, physical action. Not everything you say necessarily you do. Right? So just like the body does an action, so we lash the body. Right? The mouth already, it's a different form of activity. It's not a gross physical activity like stealing or eating chazer. Oh. It's more sophisticated. And therefore, speech is not considered an action. According to the Talmud, it's not considered an action. That's right, because that's only the thought process. If I'm coveting, I'm thinking. You don't give lashes for that either. Give lashes for an overt physical activity.
Then
that's the point.
Some of them shouldn't be punished. They shouldn't be lashed then, because they're just speaking.
And what did we say? It's a knas.
Right.
Or it does.
Well, just
hold on, and we're going to see in a minute. He's going to talk about it. He's going to bring it down. Just hold on a minute. We're gonna see. So Amar Ula. So Ula comes to defend Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say that a negative action, a negative transgression that's not an action, does get Malkus? Does get Malkus? Right? Minole. Gomer Motzi Shemra. So you see from Motzi Shemra that what? That motzi shemar, even though it's not an action, you still lash. Right? That's what it is. Motzi shemar is not an action. Is not an action, but we still lash. Therefore, Behuda says, therefore, if you leave over the Korban Pesach, if it wasn't for the reason of Lava Nitek Lase, we would lash him, because he holds that even if it's not an action, you lash. And the proof is from Motzi Shemra. To which Gemara says, wait a minute, I don't know if we could learn from Motzi Shemra to everywhere else in the Torah. Because maybe Motzi Shemra is uniquely different, that's why you lash, but we couldn't apply it to other things, which is, Ma Motzi Shemra maybe. Motzi Shemra, where did I go now? I'm sorry. I think I lost the place. Omar Ula, Gomer Motzi Shemra. Ma Motzi Shemra, I gotta read the whole thing. Ma Motzi Shemra, Lav Shemba Maisa Lokan Lov. Just like Motzi Shemra does not have an action to get Malkus, I've called Lav Shemba Maisa Lokan Lov. So therefore, any other negative that you don't do an action gets Malkus. And that's the answer. Now the Gomer is asking the question. Wait a minute. Maybe Motzi Shemra is unique. Malamotzi Shemra, you see it's unique. Shekein Loka Mishalim. You get lashed and you pay. Which already is unique. The fact that you give two punishments, that already makes it unique. So maybe since it's already unique that it gets a double punishment, the fact that it gets lashed is uniquely different, but we couldn't learn anything else from that.
Can't
you understand? A regular case where there's only one possible punishment of lashes, maybe we don't learn from that. Since we already, we see that maybe there's something very terrible about Motzi Shemra. Because we already see it gets two punishments. Nowhere else do we get two punishments. Right? So now, if it's so unique, maybe we can't learn other things from it.
Can't draw parallels.
Right. So, fine. So, El Amresh Lakis, or Rashi says, okay, I'll find you another case where we could learn the rest of the Torah from it. Bingo. Who noted it? Gamar mi Eidim Zomimim. We'll learn from Eidim Zomimim. What do we learn? My Eidim Zomimim, Eidim Zomimim. Lav Shema Maisa isn't a lav. That's not an action. All they're doing is talking. And what happens if they testify that somebody's father married a Kohen, married a Grusha? What do we do to them? We lash them, right? So Lokin a love. So you see that says lashes by Eidim Zomimim. So we'll learn everywhere else the Torah that even if there's no action, you get lashed from Eidim Zomimim. Afkol Lav Shema Maisa. So Afkol Lav Shema Maisa. Therefore, any other place in the Torah where it's a negative without an action, Lok and love as well, you will give him a lash as well. To which the Gemara says, no, maybe Eidim Zomimim has a unique feature to it, and you can't learn from Eidim Zomimim. Now, I'm not going to go into the details over here, but it is something unique. Normally, you only punish someone if you warn them. In the whole Torah, you got to warn a guy. If a guy's eating treif, he will not get lashed unless people warn him. They say, you know you're eating treif? And the Torah says, you can't eat treif? And the punishment for eating treif is lashes? I know, but I'm going to do it anyway. And then we lash him. You have to warn him. So in most cases, you can find a way to warn him. How do you warn Eidim Zomimim? You don't even know what they're trying to do till it's too late.
Yeah, but you could say when that
you don't know.
You promised to tell the whole truth.
No,
nothing but
that is the love of not lying. But that's not Eidim Zomimim. Yeah. In other words, if I see a piece of treif in your hand and I know you're about to eat the treif, I can warn you don't eat the treif. A guy comes to court, I don't know he's lying. I don't know. I'm not a mind reader. Oh, that guy looks like he's lying. I'm warning you that if you're an Eidim Zomimim, you're gonna. What do you think? You can't do that.
We don't know.
You can only warn if it's imminent. A guy has a piece of chazer in his hand.
Imminent.
You know he's imminent. He wants to eat the chazer. Don't eat the chazer. And here's the chazer. Don't eat it. Guy's got a gun. Don't shoot him. You see the gun, right?
So you just whip them on the spot.
But the guy's testifying in court. You know, we assume a person testifying in court is not a liar. And even if we said, well, if you are an Eidim Zomimim, but that's not a warning. You have to know. The guy would have to say, okay, guys, I'm telling you now, I wasn't in town, and we never were there, and we're going to tell you we're lying. So if you're going to warn you, don't say that. You can't, the whole idea doesn't come into reality.
Yeah.
So that, and still they get punished though. You figure, you know what, you could never punish an Eidim Zomimim. You can never punish him. Why? Because you can't warn him. But obviously we do punish them, so they're unique. That they don't need to be warned. So maybe we can't learn anything else from the Torah from that. So we tried twice. We tried to get from motzi shem ra, which gets lashed even though it's not an action, but we say, well, that's unique because it gets a double punishment. Try to learn from Adim Zom, if you get lashed even though you didn't do anything, we say, well, that's unique, it doesn't need to get a warning. So how are we going to learn? So what's going to be Rabbi Yehuda's interpretation to think that you could get lashed for a thing that doesn't have an action? So I have to say it like this. Where am I now?
Long line.
First long line. So the answer is Motzi Shemra Yochiach. Motzi Shemra will be the proof and be the balance. In other words, V'chazer Adin. And we'll learn from both. We'll learn from both Motzi Shemra and Adim Zomim. In other words, we'll take the common denominator between the two of them and we'll see like this. In other words, v'chazer hadin, and the law goes back and forth. And you say, lo reize, this stringency is not kareize, is not like this stringency. V'lo reize, and the other stringency is not kareize, it's not like that stringency. In other words, we punish, the motzi shemra gets lashed, even though there's no action. Oh, you say, yeah, but that's different, because that has a stringency, it's double punishment. Okay, but motzi shemra doesn't have a double punishment, and still gets lashed. Oh no, well that, you know why it gets lashed? Because you don't have to have a warning. Yeah, but wait a minute. By Motzi Shemra, he would have to have a warning, and we still lash. So in other words, each stringency, you see the other one doesn't have the stringency, so now what's the we now have to go and say, well there must be a common denominator. It can't be we lash the Motzi Shemra because it's a double punishment, because you see by Edom Zomim there's no double punishment, we still lash him. And you can't say the reason you get the double punishment by Eden Zomim is because they don't have to have a warning, because we see by Motzi Shemra, they do have to have a warning. So from each one alone, you can't learn. But we can learn from both of them, and the common, what is the common denominator? Which is, what is that? Hatzad HaShavash Behen, the side that's equal to them, meaning the common denominator is Lav Shem B'maisa. They both have in common, it's an action, a love that isn't an action. Velok in a love, and you get lashes. So from the two, you can learn, I've called it for anything else in the Torah. If it's a love, shame, or mice, if it's a negative precept that doesn't have an action, lok in a love, you get lashed for it. Nice. And that, now this one just side question, which is really, the answer's so simple. That's why Tosos has a field on this. We're just going to say it's simple. Moore says, wait a minute. Well, maybe ma lahatzad hashav behen. Maybe, well, another question. Well, maybe the two of them have another common, unique thing that makes them different from everything else.
Ma lahatzad, you mean?
No, that these two have a common stringency that we couldn't learn from them. First, we said each one had a stringency. Don't learn from them. But I said, well, let's take the common denominator of lav shem b'maisa. But what if they both have a common denominator stringency? Then we couldn't learn anything else from those. Let's say they are uniquely stringent in the same aspect that nothing else is. Then you couldn't learn from it. So they say maybe like this, mal atzad hashavim, but they have a common denominator that's a stringency, which is shekein knasu. It's a knas. Didn't we get done saying on the top? They're both a knas. And we don't learn out from a knas. Oh, seems like you have two things, but they each have a stringency that they're a knas. So you can't learn anything else from those two even. So what's going to be way out of that? Lo kasha, Rabbi Yehuda lo sav like Rabbi Akiva. Yehuda will not hold like Rabbi Akiva. He will hold that Adim Zomim is not a knas. So since it's not a knas, they don't have a common stringency. No common. So it could be that the Motzi Shemra has two stringencies. It has the one stringency, it's double punishment, and another stringency, it's a knas. But Adim Zomim doesn't have either one of those two stringencies. And Adim Zomim has a stringency; he doesn't have to have a warning. But Moshe doesn't have that stringency. So we're back to our common denominator that it's what? It's a lav shem b'maisa. The two of them is a lav shem b'maisa. You can learn everything else from it. Good?
Yeah, but because it's a lav shem b'maisa, they get malchus.
Yes. And okay, so those two have malchus. It's called a mahatzad.
Okay, so
what's the common denominator? We have, what do we now? Point of Yehuda, you know where he learns? That the whole Torah, a lav shem b'maisa, you do lash, because there's two cases where you see it. By Motzi Shemra, and by Adim Zomim. The common denominator is Lav Shem B'maisa. What about the other stringencies? But the one that has one stringency, the other one doesn't have that stringency. So it can't be that the stringency is the reason why we're strict there.
So why don't you give lashes for Lashon Hara?
So we have to have another reason for not to do it. You have to come up with another reason. That would be a question. According to Rebuta, why don't we lash somebody? So we'd have to now you know, we'd have to figure out what would be unique about something else. You have to, just that we found, just a, so why don't we give lashes by leaving over the Korban Pesach? Was the answer.
Why said, don't you?
Yeah.
Because there's a positive.
It's an essay afterwards. So we'll have to see what would be the other, there could be other rules we'd have to put into play. What kind of rule would stop you? Now, the truth of the matter is, we don't paskin like we do, so we don't have to worry about it. The psak halacha is of the opinion like the chachamim, that lav shema maisa does not give malchus. So we don't have to worry about it. So what would Rav Yehuda do about it? We'd have to see. We'd have to think. Go in the commentaries and see what other aspect of Lashon Hara could we apply to it to not give the lashes. But on a simple level, it theoretically should. Maybe he would hold you do lash somebody. Right? There's a machlokas. You'll lash a guy for leaving all, you know, other cases. So we have to see. Now, the next line is the question is like so like not such a question. The answer is so obvious that that's why the commentators go to town here. We're not going to go to town. We're just going to say this. You're going to see the question. You're going to say, I don't understand the question. And you can say, that's good. You understand it. And therefore, the answer is obvious.
Perfect.
All right?
Perfect.
That what? Ella, but I'll ask you this. Mala hatzad ha-shavim. But these two common things, shekein yeshvim tzad chomer. But each one has a stringency. You can't learn from others because each one has a stringency. You know, because this one has a stringency. That was a stringency. How can you know things like that? So the witch Rabbi Yehuda says, Tzad Chomer Lo Parach. And we don't ask that question, because we look at the common denominator. That's all. So right, each one has a stringency. We look at the common denominator, and that's it. Fine. End of this part of the Gemara. So now, what have we basically done today? We've brought two versions of what Ula, why Ula would bring Motzi Shemra. Did he bring it to arbitrate the opinion of Rabbi Meir, why you get two punishments by Adim Zomimim? And why is there a second punishment? You should only get punished once. He says, well, he learns it from Motzi Shemra, right? That was one answer. And even though it's a knas, he holds, it's interesting, so he will say that Rabbi Meir holds that Adim Zomim is a knas. Or we're going to use Ula to explain Rabbi Yehuda's opinion of why he holds that Lav Shema Moisa gets Malchus. And he also learns it. But this time not just from Motzi Shemra, it's from Motzi Shemra and from Adim Zomimim. And it would come out that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Adim Zomim is not a knas. So now we got different names. Up on top we have Rabbi Meir saying it is a knas, like Rabbi Akiva. And below we have Rabbi Yehuda saying it's not a knas. Okay. What's left? It's just a little bit. And maybe we could do it in 5 minutes to go to the Mishnah, as I wanted to. Are we okay, guys?
So we say it is a knas?
Am I losing you guys in a cloud of dirt? Or
is it a knas or not?
It's a machlokes. We have a lot of opinions now.
So who do you hold by?
Who do we hold? Rabbi Akiva.
Rabbi Meir says it's a knas.
And we hold
by? Yehuda says it's not a knas.
We hold by Rabbi Akiva's opinion.
Well, we'll see.
Did
you
say
it is
only get two punishments?
It's a machlokes. Rabbi Meir and the
Chachamim. Oh, we know?
Because we don't know.
What is Malchus? What's the other one?
We paskin like right. The Chachamim.
Fine.
We our psak is like the Chachamim. That what? You only pay and they don't give less. You don't give the double punishment.
Leniency. A little bit more leniency.
Okay, we hold like them. Okay.
You can't choose the punishment you want.
No.
Okay. Don't have the money, give
so it now, me. Let's just do the last little piece.
A fine or 6 months jail.
So I learned that I don't
know. We killed him.
You just said it only results in class.
We're not sure.
Nas is, we kill them. Understand? If they don't want to kill somebody, we kill them.
Didn't you just say that we cost him that...
The Torah says you give them the punishment they wanted to give somebody else. We give them one punishment. We don't give them two. If they testify that the guy stole money, we make them pay money, and we don't lash him. If they testify someone killed somebody, we kill them, and we don't lash them. We just kill them. Okay? If they testify that someone did something that deserves lashing, then we'll lash them.
And that's when it comes in the monetary.
No, you lash them after you kill them.
According to Rabbi Akiva, it's only possible. You know, well, the question is, what if it's non-monetary? How would we call that? That would be an interesting thing to look
half
into.
Kill them and then
lash
them. Okay.
Kill one of them.
Let's move on. Let's move on to the second half of the Mishnah. We only have 5 lines to go. Or do you want to stop?
No. Let's do it.
Okay, the second half of the Mishnah, again, a machlokes, Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanim, but a little bit different. The question is, do we give two sets of lashes or one set of lashes? Right? That was the issue there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And there, clearly, Rabbi Meir says, we do as he's supposed to. It's two lavin, both sana, and you give him as a zomim. Chachamim say, no, you only give him one for eidim zomim. So the question now is going to be asked as follows. Rabbanan, now the question turns around to the rabbis. The first time tomorrow we had a question on Rabbi Meir. Now we ask a question on the Rabbanan. According to Rabbanan, hai lo sana b'rabbe chakar ma'a darshibar. So what are we going to do now with the pasuk of you're not supposed to lie? In other words, Rabbi Meir said, we give two lashes. One for being an eitzomim, and one for the transgression of don't lie. Come say no, we only give them a punishment for being able to zomim, but not for not lying. So the question is, well, what about the fact the Torah says you can't lie? What are they going to do with that pasuk? Going to ignore that pasuk?
Disregard it?
Going to ignore that pasuk? Sir Bonan, hi, lo, san, recha, check out my door, shibay. What are you going to do with that pasuk? You're just ignoring it? So there's an interesting rule in the Torah. Even though the Torah says if you do something, you're not allowed to do something, but the fact that we want to give you a punishment to it, there has to be another place in Torah where we warn you against it. It's a principle that we don't punish unless there's a warning. Meaning to say, the Torah, for example, here says you shouldn't be an eight zomim. Okay, that's you shouldn't be. But now you have to have a warning to it before the wording of the Torah that says you can't do it. In other words, you figure it's enough the Torah says don't do it. No, it's not enough. Everyone says you got to find a warning somewhere, and then when the Torah says not to do it, you've been warned not to do it from the Torah. The Torah is warning you, and then the pasuk comes and says you can't do it, and now you get punished.
So where's the warning?
So he says. So that's what he says. Mi boyle, he says. The Chacham say, you know what we're going to do it. Don't lie. That's lasor leidim zomim. That is the Torah's warning to not be a false witness, and that's why you'll get punished because of the warning. That's what the pasuk is coming to tell you. Torah says don't be an eid zomim. Fine. But where's the warning in the Torah? So the warning is beforehand. in don't lie.
Beforehand.
Okay, good. So now he knows what does that pasuk. Now what's Rabbi Meir going to do? He's using not lying to give the guy lashes. So where's the warning according to Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir, as har leidim zomim minali, where is he going to get the warning from? So he says, Om Rabbi Yirmi, Rabbi says, Nafka, he'll relearn it. If you continue on in the parsha of eidim zomim, it says, from the words, v'hanisharim, and everybody else who's around, Yishmu v'yiro, they will hear and be afraid. V'lo yosifu od, and they won't do it anymore. In other words, that's the warning. Torah's telling you, they're going to learn not to do it. That's the warning. That is the warning. Okay?
What is the warning?
Right after it says, and we punish the Adim Zomimim, then it says, and everybody else will hear and see, and they're not going to do it. So why is it writing that?
Oh, the actual physical punishment.
And now that's the warning. You see, people, you should be afraid not to do it. That's the warning.
Yeah, how about the first
one? What are the Rabbanan going to do with that? Rabbanan, what are you going to do with that? No, he says, we don't need it for warning at all. Hahumi boile, we're going to use that pasuk. We have warning already, according to the Rabbanan. What do you do with the rest of listening here? Mi boile lachroza. They need it for achroza. Achroza means, Gemara in Sanhedrin says, there are four types of crimes that when people do it, and they get punished by the Beis Din, and the Beis Din has to make an announcement, and they put it in the newspapers. So-and-so and so-and-so got killed because of this sin. There's four types of things. One of them is called Eidim Zomim. Eidim Zomim means a special ad in the newspaper.
Classified.
And how do we know that? Because it says, and the people should hear and see, and be afraid not to do it again. That's what he learns from the Pasuk. You don't need to be. He learns the warning from don't lie. So what's this Pasuk saying? That we make a public announcement. If that's the case, how does Rabbi Meir learn we make a public announcement? Rabbi Meir, Hachroza, has learned that announcement from the first half. He splits the pasuk in two. May Yishmu v'yiro, from the words that say they will listen and fear, that you learn the announcement. But from the other two words, and not do it again, that will be the warning. You understand? So again, everybody agrees you have to have a warning somewhere in the Torah in order to enable us to punish an eid zomim. Chachamim say the warning is from the pasuk that says don't lie. Rabbi Meir can't use that because Rabbi Meir uses it to lash him a second time. So Rabbi Meir says, well, the pasuk says, and everybody who's left will hear what's going on, and they're going to be afraid they're not going to do it again. That's the warning. All right, the chumim, what are you going to do with that pasuk? That pasuk is safe. We put an announcement in the paper. All right, Rabbi Meir, how does he learn to make it? Rabbi Yehuda, how do you make an announcement in the paper? Rabbi Meir, make an announcement in the paper? From the first half of the pasuk, it says people should hear and see. All right, what about the warning? That's the next two words, that they'll never do it again. And that is the machlokas. Perfect. 45 minutes. You have what to review on Shabbos, Selma.
When's the test?
Remember, on Shavuos night, I think we're going to chazer everything we learned. How's that?
Cool.
Right? What do you say? Think we could do it in one night?
Get the calls notes.
Well, we have questions. We ask questions. And
I'm lucky to be awake.
You don't look...